Well, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Sunday, March the 2nd, in the year of our Lord, 2025, and you're saying, what are you doing here today? I know, normally we have a psalm, but today I just felt compelled to sneak in a Holy Spirit story for us. It just came to us quite recently. And it's a story that's continuing to unfold, and I felt compelled to share it today as we head into Lent. You know, as I've said, we're not going to have any Holy Spirit stories for a bit of time through Lent and then even through the Easter season, because we got to go through Saturdays with our scripture and readings. So this story just cried out to me to share. It's very powerful. I don't want to say anything about it. I don't want to impact your, judgment on reading it before it gets started. In other words, no spoiler alerts. The Holy Spirit story is entitled Baffled with Kevin Adams. Our text always on Holy Spirit story days is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Hear now the word of the Lord. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Today, our Holy Spirit story comes from Kevin Adams of Amory, Mississippi. I felt compelled to sneak it in on a Sunday before we head into the 40 days of Lent, the wilderness season. I snuck it in both as an encouragement to your faith and as a call to faith and prayer across the church. So below, if you're reading it, you'll read it in Kevin's own words, and as you listen, you'll hear it now in Kevin's own voice.
Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel, Philippians 1:12. At age 61, I was enjoying a successful career traveling the world for my employer as a process improvement expert. The perks associated with my job allowed Darlin, my wife of 41 years, to plan fun vacations for us. As a musician, I was playing locally and was also the worship leader at Amory Global Methodist Church in Mississippi, which remains one of the joys of my life. You might say that Darlin and I had things pretty well dialed in. Beginning in early 2023, I began to have difficulty walking, which ultimately curtailed my ability to travel and do my job. I'd had back surgery in 2019, and just assumed that this was a recurrence of the disc problem, which could be fixed. After multiple tests, I was advised that there was no recurrence of the spinal issues and was referred for an ALS test the next day. I really didn't know anything about ALS, so I began to search on Google and was surprised to see that almost every article described ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease, as 100% fatal with no cure and a typical life expectancy of 2 to 5 years. The disease affects all voluntary muscles, resulting in complete paralysis, including the ability to speak and eat. Still, I assumed that this was just another box to check off in my diagnosis. After the ALS test was completed, Darlin and I were advised by the neurologist that the test was positive for ALS, and we were told to get our affairs in order. We were completely torn down by this news and asked to be referred for a second opinion at the university hospital in our area. The subsequent test confirmed the first diagnosis, and a month later, a third round of tests produced the same result. By this time, I was confined to a wheelchair and began to lose fine motor skills and diaphragm function, which affected my ability to sing and play guitar. I was forced into early retirement, which greatly affected our income at what was to become a very expensive time in our lives. Darlin also quit working to be my full-time caregiver. Although we maintained our faith in God, it was difficult not to feel abandoned. Friends and family helped us in any way they could, building ramps at our doors, cleaning up storm damage in our yard, bringing food, raising funds, and coming by to visit. We decided that if we were to walk this road, we would seek to glorify God on our journey. About a year after diagnosis, we were eating breakfast on our way to a Bible study at church when a stranger asked why I was in the wheelchair. After my brief explanation, he introduced himself as a Pentecostal preacher and asked if he could pray for us. He added that he had the gift of healing, which had been passed to him from his now deceased mentor. Although we were a bit taken aback, we stayed and prayed with our new friend in the restaurant, missing our Bible study. Brother W, as we'll call him, then began to prophesy that when I returned to the hospital, the doctors would be baffled by my recovery. I suppose you could say that Darlin and I hid these words in our heart. On our next visit, the doctors were indeed surprised at how I seemed to be gaining strength and set up another round of the same test, which was scheduled for December of 2024. We had been advised after the second test that we would never need to repeat them because ALS never gets better. After we arrived and were prepped for test number 4, we were surprised to see that our doctor brought 3 more neurologists in to observe, which made us expect that something extraordinary was going on. As they progressed through the tests, which consists of needles and electric shocks, we heard lots of whispers with the word normal and baffling used more than once. The chief neurologist called us that evening with the results, advising us that although I still meet the criteria for ALS, I could begin strength building and balance therapy. I was released to do anything I could. Darlin and I continue to rejoice every day as God continues his healing work. I am able to walk short distances with a cane. My diaphragm has become to recover, restoring my voice. Fine motor skills are improving enough to play guitar again. Why would God choose me to perform a miracle when so many are never healed? We may never know on this side of heaven, but I want to live my life in accordance with Philippians 1:12, telling my story and using my increasing strength to advance the gospel. Thanks be to Jehovah Rapha, our healer.
The prayer. Father, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer. How we thank you for this miracle in the making. It is a miracle, and every day that it keeps unfolding is another miracle. Thank you for all you have done and are doing in Kevin's life and healing. And Darlin, we are astonished at the healing ministry of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit and through the humble and bold prayers of this preacher, whom we ask you to bless as well. And we want to add our prayers for sustained and progressive healing for Kevin, day by day, just keep increasing his strength. Would you let this be a sign of the kingdom that could advance the gospel, as Kevin has noted? And we're praying in Jesus' name. Amen. The journal prompts. Does this embolden you to keep persevering in prayer for impossible situations in your life or of which you are aware? And then I'll ask you, what awakening does this evoke in you? We're going to sing in just a minute. We'll sing our Saturday song. It's going to be on Sunday today. And you know, I've told you before, we sing this song, Sanctuary, at the end of our worship service every Sunday at the Gillette Methodist Church. It's what I call our street song. It's how the sanctuary gets out into the streets. And we sing it right as we're walking out of church. So we'll sing it as we're getting ready to go into church today. But boy, this is a story of that in motion. As I was reading the story for the first time, he's rolling along in a wheelchair in a restaurant, and this Pentecostal preacher, it felt like we're right there at the gate called Beautiful in Acts chapter 3, I believe it is, where Peter and James come along the man who was, paralyzed. And, just imparted healing into him. And I just saw this Pentecostal preacher doing the same thing. And I'm like, wow. And then he prayed that the doctors would be baffled by his recovery. He didn't pray, prophesied that when he returned to the hospital, the doctors would be baffled by my recovery. I love how Kevin said, I suppose you could say that Darlin and I hid these words in our heart. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. This is a miracle. And let's just keep praying for him. I want to call us to prayer during this season of Lent. You know, this is for Kevin and Darlin for sure, but it's for more than that. This is the healings of Jesus that we read about in the Bible and the Acts of the Apostles. Yeah, they're always for the person that was healed, but they become so much more across the church. They become signs of the kingdom when God makes a way, when there is no way, when an impossible situation all of a sudden breaks forth with the possibility of God's kingdom. That just puts faith in the church and wind in the sails and boldness in everyday ordinary witnesses like you and me. And you know what? We all know this is not an everyday occurrence. Would that it were, and it could be. And we don't understand, like, well, why not in my situation and why not in that situation? Let's let that go. And let's just be emboldened to go back to work in my situation and your situation and the ones that we're caring about. Let's just let this put wind in the sails of our prayers and let's go after it again. We don't have to understand. We don't have a need to understand. We want to, but let's just start praying and add to our praying the prophesying. Baffled. That was why I titled it today, Baffled. Well, guys, it's such a blessing to get to share this today on Sunday. And, you know, we're going to be at Ash Wednesday coming up here in no time, a couple of days to a few days from now. And we're going to be saying, from dust you have come and to dust you shall return. Repent and believe the gospel. But we're carrying this story with us. We're carrying this with us. So let's sing. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Again, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen. Well, guys, it's time to... We're not going to hit the fields today. We're going to church. We're going to the house of the Lord, the house of prayer. And I'll be looking for you there. I'll be in my house of prayer here in Gillette. And my house of prayer is part of your house of prayer. We're all one big house of prayer. And let's lift up prayers today with faith. I'll see you there for the awakening. I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.